You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell.
And we're delighted that you're joining us again tonight, whether you're live with us this very moment or you're joining us afterwards as a podcast. We're so happy that you're with us. And of course, that's the music of the Hot Texas Swing Band kicking off today's show with one of their wonderful instrumental pieces, Hot Texas. Jim, who are our guests tonight?
We have two guests tonight.
We do. And you know, we say story is everything, don't we?
We do.
And these two ladies know how to write a story. Who's joining us?
Natalie Bright and Denise F. McAllister.
Hi, ladies. Hi.
Hello.
So very quickly, before Jim does the your little introduction, Natalie, where are you joining us from?
Good evening. I'm joining you from the Texas Panhandle, which is the square top of Texas near Amarillo.
Very good.
All right. And Denise, where are you?
I'm in Jefferson, Georgia, which is about 50 miles north of Atlanta.
All right. Okay. Well, and here we are in Albuquerque, and there's Sam in LA. So we're coast to coast. Yeah. Well, we're delighted that you're with us, and Jim has a little something to say.
Just a short little bio. Natalie. Natalie is a blogger, speaker, and author of 20 books for kids and adults, mostly in the Western genre. She holds a BBA in business and marketing and enjoys talking about the writing craft and history behind her work. Welcome, Natalie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Denise has always had a love for the West and horses, although she grew up in Miami, Florida. One of the happiest times of her life was owning and showing horses in Atlanta. She sometimes incorporates these experiences in her novels, like The Tragedy of Barn Fires. Denise has a master's in professional writing and has been freelance editing for more than 20 years. Welcome, Denise.
Thank you for having us.
We're so delighted, and we're going to be talking in great... Did you have something else?
No.
Oh. We're going to be talking about the book number one of a nine-book series. Nine books, right?
Six books.
Yes. Okay, six-book series. Maybe there are three more coming, they'll tell us. Six-book series. Then we're going to be talking about book one of the Wild Cow Ranch series, Maverick Heart, in just a moment. I like to hold up the book so everybody knows what our main focus is tonight. But we want to talk a little bit with each of you to kind of get started. So, Denise, why don't you start? Tell us a little something about yourself.
Oh, what's to tell? Let's see. I've been dabbling with stories since I was a kid. I got more into it, of course, when I was a teenager and all that kind of stuff. And I've really been an editor for a lot of years in business, publications, brochures, newsletters, things like that. But always in the back of my mind was to get back to the creative side, to fiction writing. So I've kind of done a little bit of everything in a way. But it was great to meet Natalie, and that started our journey.
Mm-hmm. And Natalie, same question for you. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and your writing background.
Thank you. Of course, I've been writing and reading for as long as I can remember. And then college and work and family and kids kind of get you off track. But finally, I found my way back to fiction writing, and I haven't left since. So I like to write. I don't pick one lane. I like to write whatever project comes along, try different things, and whatever motivates me. So it's been a fun journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. How did you two ladies meet?
We met at Western Riders of America in Lubbock, Texas, 2015, I believe. And it was our first meeting for both of us. We didn't really know that many people, so we kind of hung out together in the back corner, watched and learned. And I was just awestruck by all the talented and creative people in that group.
Yes.
And Denise, what do you have? Do you have a memory of that meeting?
Well, you know, it's funny when people are standing across the room or, you know, you don't know people, like Natalie said, it's just amazing to think back how we hit it off and one thing led to another. And I eventually invited Natalie to Atlanta. That was a couple years later. I think I did some editing for Natalie. Mm-hmm. And then she came to Atlanta and we can, I guess, tell that story in a minute.
Yeah. Now, Natalie, you just have a brand new book coming out. You have a new cookbook coming out.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I just got the cover art. So I printed it off to show everybody.
That's so cool.
This is called, this is with Two Dot Books, yeah. And it's called End of Trail Eats. And it is about the history and food of the cow towns and saloons, which is kind of a continuation of my first book, Keep 'em Full and Keep 'em Rolling, which is the history and food of the chuck wagon. Mm-hmm. So I talked to classes about Texas longhorns and chuck wagons. A fourth grader actually asked me, well, where were the cows going? And I thought, oh my gosh, that's my second book to answer that question. Kids can ask the best questions ever that set you on the next journey.
They sure can. And they can ask a question that's really surprising.
Yeah.
When I was a volunteer at the Autry Museum of Western Heritage, I would tour kids. And I remember one morning we were out in front waiting for the museum to open, and there was a big, beautiful bronze statue of Gene and Champion. And so I was asking the kids, you know, did they know anything about Gene? And one little boy said, oh, he owns the Angels. And the little girl next to him said, no, God owns the Angels. They just do say the darndest thing.
I think Natalie's first cookbook won an award also.
Oh, yes. Will Rogers Medallion.
Ah,
yeah. Oh, wow.
Another little clap, clap.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Absolutely. So how many books have you written together?
Nine total. So we have two series, Wild Cow Ranch, and then we started a second series.
Okay.
Based on minor characters from the first series.
Right.
Do you want to ask a collaboration question?
Do you ever get have crossed wires? No, we're not going to do that.
I think sometimes. What do you think, Natalie?
Sometimes we have, and we let it stew for two or three days. We text and email and Zoom and talk on the phone when we're in the writing process almost every day, sometimes two or three times a day. So if we got to a roadblock and couldn't decide about plot, sometimes we wouldn't talk for about two or three days. You know, let it, just think about it, stew about it, and then come back together, try to collaborate and agree.
Mm-hmm. This was the first year we went to the Western Writers, and our experience a lot like yours. We already knew each other, of course, but we were meeting so many new people, and you were both on a panel that I was really looking forward to about the collaboration process, and I found it just so very interesting. And we didn't know. Really know anybody on that panel, I don't think. Yeah. And it was listening to the two of you talk about it where I turned to Jim at one point and said, we have to meet them and we need to have them come and share their story on Rendezvous with a Writer.
Oh, thank you. That was a good panel. I think we had the two music people, Mickey and Johnny Boggs.
That's right.
Yes. And then Richard Prosh and Paul Bishop did a blog. I learned so much on that panel, just up there listening to them. Right. It was just went really well. Mm-hmm. And that was fun to share our experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're so glad y'all made that meeting.
Well, we will definitely be there again. Some of the, you just shared a little bit about when you might have hit little roadblocks. What have you discovered as really a key to the long-term, the key to a successful collaboration team? What would you say are some elements of that?
I think communication, of course. And I think we learned a lot with our process from the beginning, you know, all the way through the books. I remember one instance, we're talking about two creative brains. We always say that. So mm-hmm. sometimes when we would talk about the story, and then Natalie might get busy. She has a busy life aside from writing these books. And so I would go off on a tangent because I had, let's say, 3 free days. So I'd go off with the story, but then I'd come back, talk to Natalie, and maybe I was out in left field. So I think mm-hmm. you have to really talk about your story. And I used to make outlines and all this stuff that was a little bit obsessive, maybe, but I wanted to know exactly where we were going and what. And then I changed that, you know, then I got a little bit freer, but that's kind of a long answer. But
no,
that's all right.
So you're kind of an outliner. And then, Natalie, would you say, when you're working on your own materials, are you an outliner or are you a pantser?
I'm not, but I do know my characters and I like to do a complete character sketch. I do know the setting very well. And then I have to know the ending. Once I know the ending, then I can write to where I'm going. Mm-hmm. But outlines kind of throw me off sometimes. But in this case, we really had to have an outline because with the two brains, I had to know what Denise was thinking. For example, I have 2 sons, a husband, and so I'm around men all the time. And I just knew that I had this character, which he turns into be a love interest in book 2, Nathan. I just knew I had him in my head of what I wanted, but Denise really connected with that character and kind of took him in a whole different way. And, you know, that's the thing about, you just give someone grace. You just mm-hmm. back off and let them take it. 'Cause I knew that she could do a much better job than what was in my head. Mm-hmm. And which was surprising because she, you know, was single and lives by herself. And but then she,
my dog is a female.
Yes. And I don't know, she just had that character in her head and she just went with it. And it turned out very well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Who did the most of the work on Link?
Link is the ranch hand. He's based on all the ranch hands that I've known, just hardworking. And then Denise added her bits too. So,
I mean, I think, Natalie, you gave such a wealth of knowledge and experience. She lives on a cattle ranch. Here I am in Georgia. I really don't know anything about cows. I have to admit that. So it was interesting and I learned a lot. But I guess when we came to the character, then it was a collaboration.
It was when I visited her in Georgia, I told her about an idea I had and I needed somebody who knew the horse part because I never was allowed to have horses or ride when I was growing up and all my family had horses, but I wasn't allowed to. And I needed someone. I had this idea for a story and then Denise can tell you her idea. And I love those fish out of water stories where they're somewhere, they don't know anybody, they're alone, they have to persevere. That's my favorite kind of story. And I just mentioned that to Denise. And then she replied with an idea of a book that she had, that she had been wanting to write. So you can tell them what your idea was.
Well, and it was kind of weird in a way when we think back, because just as Natalie said, when she told me her story, we were there at my dining room table and I said, wow, you know, I was writing a book, novel about a girl and she inherits a ranch and one thing led to another. And then the light bulbs just went off, I think, for both of us. And we said, why don't we write it together? Because it's like we both kind of had it was kind of strange how that came about, but it was strange.
And so then it made perfect sense to have the girl start the book in Georgia. with the woods and streams of Georgia and have her inherit a ranch in Texas panhandle with the open grassy plains and note the treeless prairie. And then, of course, she brings her horse. And, of course, it made sense that her horse did not like cows. And then chapter one of Maverick Heart is, it opens with a horse show. And that is just 100% Denise. It is, I just love that chapter and that scene of that horse show. And that was the connection I wanted between the character and having a horse and having that horse as a character in our, you know, that carried through the book.
Yeah.
And I think too, if I might just interject just real briefly, I don't know if other people think that maybe there's not a lot of research that goes into these fictional books, but, you know, we did a lot of research and we talked to different horse people, even though I have the experience, we wanted it to be accurate. So we did have a lady read it and she rides a different discipline than I used to ride. And then we had a quarter horse judge talk to us about it and make sure things were authentic. So there was a good bit of research put into it as well.
It feels as though the landscape is a character in this book, and it's part of, we'll talk about Carly in our next segment in greater detail, but this is a young woman, very talented young woman, but she really waffles. She has a real hard time making decisions, and she second guesses herself all the time, which, ladies, is I'm guilty of that.
Me too.
And so we have her in these two very different worlds, and one she's familiar with and is comfortable with, and is that's home as much as she still second guesses some about it, and then she's throwing, you know, like how our life can change overnight. She gets some news, and the next day she's heading for Texas. And one of the things that really links those two worlds is her love of horses and Bo. And he kind of links the landscapes, because he learns how to maneuver. He knows how to maneuver the ring and everything in Georgia. But then he gets out and he's out in, you know, nameless acres of of ranch. And Bo is really important. That landscape and Bo is kind of what really links her into the storyline, I think, as a reader, I think.
I think that setting is an element of all Westerns. That's one of my favorite parts about Westerns. And that it is a character. It is a character in itself. It's a very strong character, and it influences the characters and their decision and what they do every day and how they operate. That setting is a huge influence.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think too, living in Georgia and Carly coming from Georgia, you know, where I live, Atlanta, it's such a kind of a paradox in a way, because we've got the big downtown Atlanta, which I try to stay away from, and all the highways, but then we have beautiful, beautiful country in the North Georgia mountains. So, yeah, you're all right about that setting. She takes that with her, those memories, and maybe that's why she waffles too. Mm-hmm. Does she want to stay where she loves the land in Georgia, go to this place in Texas that she's not familiar with?
Mm-hmm. And then Texas starts to grow on her, doesn't it?
Yes, for sure. And, you know, I think it's kind of funny, just in our personal lives, for I don't know how many months Natalie would say to me, Denise, you have to come out here. How can you write about this? You've got to come to the ranch. So finally, I went for a visit, and it was great.
Was that the first time you ever went west or went to Texas?
No, but I guess that maybe that area of Texas. But, you know, and driving through Texas, I mean, that's a long journey.
You call the book Maverick Heart. How did you come up with the name?
Well, a maverick cow is is an orphan calf that its mother died for whatever reason. And that's kind of how we related to Carly, is she was adopted. She was alone in the world. She didn't know anyone. She didn't know her family, her mother's family. Her mother had her when she was very young, put her up for adoption. And Carly was a maverick in a way, and had just raised herself. Denise, you want to expand on that?
Well, I was thinking too of the, and I was going to say, you know, I think a lot of authors, we do sometimes put parts of our personal lives into it. Not that I was adopted or any of those things, but just, you know, things that have happened in my life or with my, whenever there was a challenge in my life, my horse was the one saving grace or the one friend I could really talk to, you know, in those quiet times. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting how we do put little pieces of ourselves into a story, even if we don't intend to. It just comes out.
Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful design. Did the publisher, how did you all determine the illustration for the cover?
It is Wolfpack did an excellent job. We didn't want faces on the cover, but we did want a horse. And it is a women's fiction, follows her story. And I just love it. I think it's flat. You don't see any mountains because Texas is very flat, no trees. And I just thought they did an excellent job on the whole series. The whole series is very nice looking. And,
well, we, of course, both read it, as we always do, to prepare. And we enjoyed it immensely. And I would say to Jim, where are you? Because I would want to tell him something. And he'd say, oh, I'm at such and such. Oh, okay, I can't say anything. And then he'd say, I must have gotten just to that part. Do you want to talk about? And then we might chat about it. And then he might get ahead of me. And
we might dissect the character or two.
Yeah.
You know, why does this character do this? Does it make sense to you?
So any gentleman readers or anybody watching or listening to this, it's a gentleman. Although, yes, Carly is our main character, there are some very interesting characters in the book, and it is a very engaging story. And I would encourage you to not turn away from it or make some decision because there's a cowgirl on the cover that it's not for you. This is a story about the heart, absolutely about the heart. And I look forward to reading all six of them.
Oh, I think it ought to be a Hallmark movie, don't you think?
Well, yeah, that was the first thing Jim said. He read, like, you know, the first four chapters. He's like, how come Hallmark, did they do this and we don't know about it?
We tried really hard to make it authentic. And we wanted it to be authentic in the cattle work, the work that people do on a ranch, and the way that a person relates to their horse. Denise added that part. We just wanted it to be real. And we worked very hard at that element.
Yes, yes. Yeah. We're going to take a very short break to help all of our listeners know one of the places that they can get all of your books, which is our bookshop.org affiliate page. And when we come back, we're going to actually talk more about the characters of this book, Maverick Heart. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. Jim and Bobby Bell, our special guests tonight, Natalie Bright and Denise F. McAllister.
And we're talking about book one of their series. This is Maverick Heart. And we enjoyed it tremendously. We've gotten to be able to get to know these ladies a little bit. Now we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about the book, but we don't want to do lots of spoiler alerts and things because there are all kinds of twists and turns and unexpected things that we don't want to reveal, really, if we can help it. But there are a number of very engaging characters. So Carly is our main character, and you've already given us a little bit of her background. Which one of you named her and where did the name come from?
I think, Natalie, I think you might have said Carly, but then in one of our first meetings, my brain just took off, and I think I said Carlotta Jean. You know, I said her whole name.
So there you go.
Actually, It was, if we'd have had a girl, that would have been our daughter's name. But we had all boys.
So okay.
I've always loved that name.
So you did.
And you did mention a little a few moments ago, a little bit about how she was orphaned and adopted and such. We get to see her in that first chapter and all. We see her with a gentleman named Mark, and they have a little bit of a business going on. What are they involved in?
Well, he's her trainer. She shows horses. They have a little business. They board some clients' horses, some rich kids or whatever you want to call them. And they go to horse shows, and she's really trying to win and get an all around, which would be that she exhibits in different classes. And the higher award that she would get, her horse would be more valuable. Their business would, you know, take off and be more successful. So that's kind of what she's doing. She has a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Well, she doesn't. Oh, yeah, she has a boyfriend. Yes, you're right. Yes, Joshua. Yes. Josh.
Is this show experience as competitive as you have written? And is it maybe stressful, too?
Well, it is. Yeah, all of those things. And it can be stressful. But I also wanted to say there's also a family atmosphere. I didn't want to portray it like, oh, it's all. We might have said it was cutthroat. It might have been cutthroat in her little circle where something happened and some people were quick to judge her. But, you know, in the real world, horse showing, it's a family affair for the most part.
Mm-hmm. It looks to me like mostly the ladies are showing the horses. Is that right? Are there men that also show horses?
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. And in all different disciplines, you know, barrel racing and all kinds of things. And even in English or jumping, there's male, female. Yeah, so it's all mixed. Mm-hmm. But I guess, too, there is a large amount of, you know, young girls with their horses and growing up. You know, it might be a female thing.
And although she's firmly planted there, she does seem to have a bit of interest in the West. I really loved that she enjoyed Cowboys and Indians magazine. And I could, again, as readers, we look for these little tidbits that we can relate to. And for us, that was very relatable. What does she do with it? What does she do with Cowboys and Indians magazine?
Well, she uses the pictures to decorate her home. She has no money, can't afford artwork, but she loves the artwork depicted in that magazine. And I just love that magazine. I was writing a description of her house, and I happened to get one of those magazines in the mail and thought, wow, some of this would make really good pictures on your wall.
Absolutely. Or you dream about those things in your wardrobe or, you know, on your feet. Or I've always said, like, boots is art you can wear, so much of Western fashion. And of course the magazine covers Western fashion as well. So only you can see the artwork on your wall, you know, but you spend that same amount of money and put it on and you can go out. Now everybody gets to see your artwork.
Right.
she enjoys going to the Booth Art Museum, Western Art Museum. And did you have that also as a connection?
We did, yes. When I visited Denise in Georgia, I spoke to a writer's group that happened to be at the Booth. And that is just an amazing place. So I was real thrilled that we had time to go there.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places. And so I think that, as I said, that authors sometimes put little pieces of their own, you know, likes and dislikes and loves in it. And I just love the Booth Museum. So we had Carly. That was one of her favorite places. And of course, all the artwork. She loves Western art, but she can't afford to have pieces like that in her home. And I guess that's one reason why she clips pieces out of the magazine.
And then on this particular day, Dell shows up. And tell us about this attorney who is so not attorney-like in some ways.
I think we wanted surprises. We didn't want to follow the usual trope. and the usual things that you might expect that an attorney looks like. So we gave her neon colored hair and she's loud and obnoxious, but she gets Carly's attention because she has an important message for her. And Carly, of course, rejects the journey she's about to go on, and that then the story takes off.
Yeah, yeah. When she gets to the ranch, she begins to meet, you know, some of the inhabitants of that world, and there were a couple that we really like. Buck and Lola are two characters that I just every time they show up on the page, like, oh, it's Buck. I like go make a new cup of tea because I'm going to get into what Buck has to say. How did they appear to you? How did they make themselves known to you to put in the story?
Well, I think just a typical couple that is devoted to the brand, rides for the brand, has lived on their ranch the whole life, worked for that ranch, very capable at what they do. They were fun characters to create.
Mm-hmm. And Lola, I think, especially, she has Hispanic background, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember, get my head back into the
story.
It's
been a while, yeah.
Yeah. She's kind of different, but so wonderful. Kind of nurturing and mothering and cooks a lot.
Yeah, ranch women just amaze me because I'm not from that background at all. And Jim is the cook in our house. I would know how to do popcorn and chicken soup and that would be out of a can. So whenever I read about the life of real, true ranch women that do, you know, this is what you do every day. Yeah. And then she does it with so much grace and ease and doesn't even think about it. Like, oh, I know how to, you know, put together for 20 ranch hands that are going to go out as soon as they're fed. And oh, the next meal. I know that is life for so many women for many, many years in this country and ranching and Western traditions. But which one of you was the most comfortable writing those scenes?
I think we both contributed.
Yeah.
Because the reality is that is a lifestyle. You know, those men are working hard and the women too work hard. Mm-hmm. So the meals are hearty and lots of food, 3 squares usually a day. Mm-hmm. Because after you finish dinner, you get back up and have to finish what you need to do before dark. So they are big meals and that is where the community centers around, gathering together over the table. That's just part of the lifestyle that I was used to, that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm. And a little different for Carly.
Yes, very different from Carly, yes.
She's paying attention to carbs, you know.
I think her diet changed after she was at the ranch for a while.
Sure, sure.
Well, you know, yeah. I spent the first few years of my life on my grandparents' farm, and well, they weren't into cattle; they were into milking cows. They weren't into cattle for beef and for food. But when they had harvesting season or whenever it was planting season, and usually probably mostly towards the end of the summer, they might have 2 or 3 extra people come in as hands to do the work. You'd be, by the same time the Lola was working on breakfast, that's what my grandmother would be working, 6 in the morning at 6:30, and you'd have as much for breakfast as most folks had for dinner. And then you come back at lunchtime, and you kind of repeat that program. And then in the evening, you still have a full meal, but maybe not quite as much as you had for lunch. And I thought, this is quite a deal, you know?
Buck and Lola also play an important role, I think, in being another voice for Carly to mentor her, even though they may or may not be knowing that they're doing that. But they are both people of great faith. And then Lola also enjoys yoga. And I thought that was just a really important component. Do you want to talk a little bit about Carly's growth in her faith, or just talk a little bit about why that was an important piece to this story?
Well, I think in my mind, I originally thought they should have a Bible study. You know, we're writing for a Christian imprint of Wolfpack, and of course, it speaks to my faith as well. But so I was thinking they would have a Bible study that Lola would run. But I think it was your idea, Natalie, about the yoga, which I kind of surprised me. But I thought, wow, that's kind of different. That's neat. But you said it.
One of my friends was going to an exercise class at the church fellowship hall. And I thought, what a great way to fellowship and join together. And I just thought we needed to give Lola something different. You know, she had to have her own identity that was something different you would never think of for a ranch wife. And so.
Well, I think, that was quite a combination, wasn't it? You know, yoga and Bible study. Yeah. I mean, you got a captive audience any way you look at it, you know?
Yeah. I kind of want to find that. I want to find a yoga Bible study.
But that's how you recognize that Buck and Lola took Carly in because she had never had a family, and they recognized that. And that's part of Carly's character arc of she's get so excited. She didn't really have a support group in Georgia. She was been all alone, and she comes to this ranch and these people welcome her and give her that support system that she's never really had her entire life. And that was part of her character arc. And, you know, by the end, she does learn to trust, realize that she's home. She made it home.
And I think it is something she waffles over, that trust issue. She does. She'll have a moment where she just feels embraced and loved, and then she questions it. Maybe they don't, but they don't really know me, and they're just trying. They're putting on a face, you know. And I think that's a normal thing. That's a normal thing, I think, for all of us as we meet new people, or you're meeting your in-law family for the first time, and you think, they're embracing me because I'm marrying in, but. You know, so she has that. And then I think it's delightful to watch that change. And I'm sure we're going to continue to see that in the next, in the next books.
That happens to people that move to Texas, because we tend to hug all the time and we tend to overshare everything about things you probably don't want to know. You know, that's just who we are. We're very open. What you see is what you get. And that's how I wanted the town in the book to be. And I think we achieved that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you did. I think you did. We, you know, I think we're going to go ahead and do one more very quick break, tell you a little bit about our sponsor, Out West Shop. And when we come back, we're going to just talk a little bit more specifically about process. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer with Jim and Bobby Bell, special guests Natalie and Denise. We're talking about their book, Maverick Heart.
Oh, I have to hold it up again. Maverick Heart. And if you did just pay a moment's attention to the Out West Shop ad, if you do go to outwestshop.com, use coupon code RADIO, pretty simple. Radio, and you'll save $10 off a purchase of $75 or more. So this is so much fun to have you guys with us.
We're
going to take a couple minutes and just explore a little bit more of your process. Here's a question. We didn't really talk about this the other night, but do you have a favorite place that you each kind of like to write? And do you need silence or do you listen to music? Natalie, why don't we start with you?
That's a good question. Every book is different. I have a spare bedroom at my house, and I have a little card table in the corner, and that's where I wrote most of this. But at night, after everyone was in bed, I moved everything to the kitchen table, and that seemed to be the best place. So I don't know. I just work wherever I can find time. And I wrote a lot looking out the window, watching the cows graze. That seemed the most inspirational from a little card table in the corner. and could see the cows and the trees and the corral. Mm-hmm. And that was the best place.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And Denise, what about you?
I was at a different house, I think, when we were writing some of these books. And it was in a room like this. It was in a spare bedroom office type place. Now that I'm in this house, it's kind of interesting. I have found that this bedroom is in the front of the house. And when I have the blinds open, I might see people and their dogs go by, or I'll see a car go by. You know, it's a regular subdivision. And so that's distracting to me. So I've actually, I take my laptop and I go in the dining room, which looks out onto the back with trees and all that. So I like that so much better. And you asked about music. I think I go through stages. Sometimes I'll play a John Chandler or some Western music that's inspiring, but I have to have it kind of low, real low. And then other times I'll just turn it off and I need complete silence. So it just fluctuates.
Do you have a question?
Do I have a question?
Do you have a question?
We have one here we ask on occasion. Do you ever have writer's block or something like that?
Ooh, I think my writer's block is self-imposed, honestly. I have so many projects going that I procrastinate and always find something else to work on, you know, do. But I really try to stay on task, and that is the hardest. Writing, I think, is the hardest thing I've ever done, because you have to be in the right frame of mind. And I like to write in total silence, complete silence. I have to just really focus. And I am, my brain is a scatterbrain. I had to stop and write ideas because other things, dialogue comes to me in the middle. I'm trying to write and another story idea comes to me. So I have to make sticky notes so I can stay on task. And it's, yeah, it's hard. It's easy to give in to writer's block when you don't feel like doing your work.
I think, too, I just wanted to say that I think sometimes we didn't have the luxury or the time to get writer's block. I mean, I know we might have a little bit, but we wrote that series, 6 books, and then the next series, 3, so 9 altogether, probably in a year and a half or so.
Amazing.
So it was like a little bit,
Yeah.
It was a fast journey.
Yeah. How did you find your publisher?
At WWA, at Western Writers. And that was kind of a fun thing. I guess we just pitched to the young lady at the time, and she loved the story, and one thing led to another, and we were off and running.
Yeah. We ask this question quite often. Do your characters, you know, do they surprise you, or do they say to you, no, that's not the words I would use? You know, do they let you know they're actually in charge, or what's your relationship like with your characters?
Absolutely. I wake up in the morning with bits of dialogue running through my head, just full dialogue, and I have to figure out who's saying it to me and where does it go. It's very bizarre, and some characters completely take over the book. And so that means we have to make them a main character in the next book because they tried to take over maybe in the work. For example, the coffee shop owner in book one, Belinda, was just a great character. And we tried to make our town really rich with, you know, every walk of faith and even some that didn't have faith, you know, that is realistic of today's world. And she was a Catholic and very devout Catholic, and she was a great baker and made coffee. And she was just such a great character, and she became Carly's sounding board. And so we brought her more forward. And actually, I have the book in Cowgirls and Rustlers. And this is book 4, and she has a bigger role in this book because she was such a fine character.
And it's kind of interesting. A lot of men like that book.
Like Cowgirls and Rustlers?
Yeah, yes. They like that.
It's girl power. They take on some cattle rustlers. A lot of girl power. And the guys kind of mess up. And anyway, it was fun to write.
Well, how did Belinda come to you? How did you come up with that character? Did you like feel you needed to have somebody that Carly could confide in? Or did she just need to go someplace and get some coffee.
She needed a cup of coffee. Yeah.
She needed that caffeine fix.
She did. We decided, well, she drank coffee a lot in Atlanta, and we thought, this little town has to have a coffee shop. Okay. Every little town has a coffee shop now. Every small town in Texas. So who is going to run? It's like a brainstorming session. Mm-hmm. You know, who will run the coffee shop? What do they look like? Are they married? Do they have kids? And so we just start brainstorming and playing off each other's ideas, and that's how it develops.
You're the two brothers that have the two different grocery stores. Actually,
that was true. My husband worked for two brothers actually had grocery stores, and my husband in high school worked for one of the brothers at the grocery store.
Okay.
So yeah. In the small town that he lived in. So we developed that from that.
That'd be quite a story in itself.
I'm looking at time now. Oh my goodness. So let's see, do you have a tip for a new writer or a tip for people thinking about collaborating?
I would say write the story that wakes you up at night. If you, and sometimes I fight with that, but just if it's in your gut and it keeps waking you up at night, those characters are so real to you, that's the story that needs to be told, and that's the story that you need to write. And just stop questioning it. Just write it.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing that down, actually, because that's a really, really, I haven't heard that before. That's like a new thought.
Yeah. Great.
Denise, what about, yeah.
Well, I was thinking that about collaborating, that's a hard one to figure out, you know, that you're really going to gel with the other person. You know, Natalie and I just met. We didn't really know each other. So it was a blessing to have it all work out like that. But, you know, I guess I would just say to other people, you know, sit down, get to know that other person, because, you know, you wouldn't want to get partially into the project and then discover, wow, this isn't not at all what I expected. Or so maybe you should talk about certain things like how you would like to go about trading chapters or the writing process. I think you probably need to know a little bit before going into it and to know each other's personalities a little bit.
So, Natalie, where can people find you, follow you, get your books and so forth?
On Facebook, Natalie Kline Bright, Kline Bright, Bright. And Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest. We have a Pinterest board for each of our books. If you want to see some of the inspiration behind the characters, the setting, lots of cow pictures on Pinterest. And I'm everywhere. And Twitter, which is now X, I think. Please, we love to hear from your readers. We love connecting with you. And please find us on social media.
And Denise, what about you?
Natalie is so great with social media and everything. And we had a deal that she would do a lot of that. So anyway, I'm on Facebook. I use my middle initial because I think there's another lady with my name her name. But so Denise F. McAllister on Facebook. And then I do have a website. I started it mostly for my editing, but it's McAllisterEditing.com.
Okay. Jim always has a quote or two. Jim?
No, it's fun to take something, and particularly when I take them right from the book, you know. And this one is from Carly, and she has just met and become acquainted and starting to work with the attorney Dell. And Carly said, "Her head hurt. That's what family was good for. Headache and pain. She wasn't sure it was worth it."
Early on in the book,
we have another one. Yeah, we have Nicolette, the social butterfly. And the way I wrote it here, Nicolette invites Carly to the charity hoity-toity party. Carly scanned the crowded room. She smiled. Gossip would travel as quick as a prairie fire through brittle dry grass in July within the small community. That's fast.
We have been chatting with our special guests tonight, Denise F. McAllister and Natalie Bright, and we've been talking about the book Maverick Heart. And we're just so delighted that they were able to join us. We thank you both for being with
us. Thank you.
Thank you. Sam Hassan of LA Talk Radio for being our engineer and our visionary. And next week, our guest is All the Wild and Holy, The Life of Eunice Williams. And this is a author that we met through Southwest Writers here in Albuquerque. And her name is Gail Loredan. And the book is written in poetry form. And we're very eager to get into this. We thank you all so much for being with us. Jim, do you have a closing
and parting thought? It's always a great day out west.
We'll see you down the trail.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.